Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Bone of the Mo Thugs movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in a world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. we got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though, what do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Much love to Bone Thugs and Harmony on that. Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We got a hell of a show for you. We've been trying to make this show happen for about a week and a half now. It's finally come to apparition. I've been wanting to interview this young man. He's truly talented. And, you know, I got to tell you, he's a little bit vicious, and I think he likes it, you know. I know fighters that love to get punched, but I think this guy really loves to. With that being said, welcome Leo Plott to the program. Leo, how's it going, homie?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Oh, hey, I'm glad just to finally have you on the show, man.
Yeah, me too. I know things haven't worked out, but they worked out. So now we're here.
Oh, yeah. We're here now, and that's all that matters. You know, Leo, I'll give you a little quick synopsis of my show. I really don't do a Wikipedia or Tapology aspect. You know, I'll ask you questions about the sport, about life, about you, you know, and that's how we roll the show, bro. We just, there's
for
no
sure.
Drama. It's just real. You know, one
that's
thing
not rehearsed,
that,
man. It's not rehearsed.
Yeah. Fuck that scripted shit. But, you know, I saw a clip of a fight with you handing Billy the Kid his first loss. You know, he had cut you open initially, and you came back like a savage. You know, that fight right there truly is the definition of a warrior in my book. What did you gain from that fight, and what inspired you? I mean, I know once you saw that you were cut, you know, hell broke loose. So what went through the mind of Leo Pla?
So I didn't know I was cut. You know, when you fight, you may know that you're hurt or something, or you're sweating, but you don't always know that you're cut. And we were fighting, and all of a sudden, the referee stops it, and he looks at me, and he points to the doctor to come in to look at the cut. And I'm like, no, this is not, we ain't doing this. We ain't stopping this fight. You know what I mean? And it wasn't necessarily the blood that pumped me up. It's the fact that I was worried that they're going to stop it over absolutely nothing. Over a cut in the wrong, you know, in a bad spot. So I'm like, nope, we ain't stopping this. And so that was the motivation. It wasn't anything else. It was the fact that I was worried about the fight getting stopped.
Well, you came back in tremendous fashion. You know, I got to hand it to you because, you know, most fighters, when they get cut, sometimes they worry. They think about it too much. It draws them in, and they lose focus on the fight. With you, on the other hand, you came back in devastating fashion. And I got to admit, you handed Billy the Kid his first loss, and I think he was even shocked. But you did it in dominating fashion. Then you went over to Holland, and you won the World mm-hmm. Kickboxing Championships over there. What did that mean to you coming off that win with Billy the Kid, then going over to Holland and showing the world what your capabilities truly are?
You know what? I'm back on track. That's what this showed, and that's what it proved to me. You know, as fighters, sometimes things happen in our personal lives, and it does affect our performance. And so me beating Billy Martin gave me all this confidence in the world because I can do this. Again, I still got it. You know, people don't know I'm 37, and I've gone through a lot of hardships in life, and that's just life. But that fight with Billy put me back, and I told myself, man, I can do this. And that fight with over in Holland, I hounded that promoter, man. I hounded, like, let's do this. And me going over there and fighting proved that I can do this on a world level. And so now I've got all the confidence that I used to have when I first started a long time ago. And yeah. Not just the confidence, but that fire, that just that menacing, I don't care, we're going to brawl, I'm going to take you to the deep water, and we're going to drown. But I can swim, you can't, mentality that I used to have when I first started.
I like that. I'm going to take you over to the deep water. You know, you kind of remind me of, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, you know, Kung Lee, because I talk a lot about adversity on my show, because it truly is what defines us, not in the sport, but in life in general. And the first time I had Kung Lee on my show, he'll be on this Tuesday for the third time, the trilogy. And,
Oh, wow. You
know, I'm quite intrigued to see where that interview goes. But I took him from the fall of Saigon to him getting on a helicopter with his grandmother under artillery fire to being bullied at 8, 9, 10, 11 years old here in the States to becoming the world champion in the WEC and other aspects of the sport. You know, what has life handed you, and how do you overcome adversity and turn it into triumph?
Man, you know, about a year and a half ago, my wife left me for whatever reasons. A woman leaves her husband. I never cheated on her or stuff like that. I just couldn't get my act together because of other outside things. And so she left me, and, you know, honestly, I was homeless. I slept in my car, a Scion XB. I'm 6 foot, 200 pounds. I'm in a Scion XB sleeping, and I've got a suitcase full of clothes in there. That's it. And I had a crappy job. And I would go to it, and I'd go back to the gym and train. You know, that's all I did. And, you know, in those 4 to 5 months I was in that Scion, man, I had the worst nightmares a man could ever possibly have, or a woman could possibly ever have, you know. And it's those things, because I woke up in my nightmare. And I mean I woke up alone. I had nothing, had nobody. And at the time, I have two boys. I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And one of the things that hurt me the most is I couldn't be at his first birthday. I missed my son turning 1. I was not invited, you know. And for my son's 3rd birthday, fourth birthday, we ate at IHOP. And, man, any man that's out there who has kids knows how hard that is to miss your kid's birthday. For stupid reasons, not because of work, not because of anything else, but just because you can't be there. And man, I've taken those things and I motivated myself. You know, I've motivated myself to be something. Yeah, man. Like, shit like that can get you in life. You know, 22 men die a week because of it. They commit suicide. And I went, you know, I'm not going to be one of these numbers. In fact, I'm going to be the complete opposite number of that. I'm going to be one of the guys you don't hear about that's successful in life because of those adversities, you know. And then little forward, my mom passes, you know, back in September. She passed. And then once my life was going good, that happens. I'm like, man, I can't let these things affect my mentality. And so the only thing I've ever known to do is fight. Only thing, my first street fight was, I was 4 years old. You know what I mean? My very first street fight, I was 4. And so I'm taken back to these times where, even though it was bad, you know, being 4 years old and getting into a fight is a bad thing, but part of it's a really, really good thing because it makes you a better man. It hardens you. You know, either you succeed or you fail, and it's how you how you take those things and what you do with them. If anybody's ever watched that movie about Mike Tyson, Customato asked him, you know, what's the difference between a hero and a coward? He said nothing. The hero does what the coward can't. You know?
And that's it.
That's really,
you know,
that's what
I understand.
It is,
I truly understand, because, you know, it's like in life, I mean, we all have adversity. It's how we handle it. You know, I lost my grandfather. I mean, who really wasn't my grandfather, but it was the man that instilled and made me who I am in life, because my father was never there. And not even a week later, my mother died in my arms. You know, the following month, I lost my leg. And then a couple weeks later, my sister committed suicide. So I've been there. I've walked that walk that you've walked. And, you know, I've also been on the other side where I missed my son swimming for the first time, riding his bike for the first time, not because I didn't have the opportunity to be there, but because of work. You know, in those days, we were gone 42 weeks a year. And people don't understand it. You know, when you're a photographer in this industry, which I started in boxing 24 years ago, you know, you got to do what it takes to feed your family. If you're a real man, you're going to get up and do it. But as you get older, where I'm at now, in my mid-50s, do I have regrets? Yeah, I have plenty of regrets, because you hit 50 and you look at your life and you say, what the fuck did I do with it? You know, and it makes you grow up real quick. You know, everybody thinks they're a man because they got, you know, and I apologize to my listeners, but this is the only way I know how to say it. They think they're a man because they got hair on their nuts and a little bit of hair on their chest and chin. But that don't make you a man. That don't make you a man. You know?
Not at all.
Nah, man. People in prison, they men, the ones that go out there and abuse children and do different things. So, you know, I'm telling you, enjoy life and respect the elderly and learn, because that's where the true knowledge lies. This society today is screwing us all up. You know, one thing you made a comment about, Leo, that kind of is just bugging me. You say, you know, it's late in the game for you. You're 37. Well, let me fill you in on a little something. Dan Severn lied to the UFC and said he was 30 when he was actually 40. And he beat some of the greatest fighters in the sport after his 40th birthday. So you're only defined on by your mentality and your heart, brother. Age isn't a definition when it comes to the sport. You know, you've got a lot of time ahead of you, and you've got a lot of things to prove. Now, you got an opportunity coming up with Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. What does that opportunity mean to you, brother?
It's just like everything else, man. It's another. Everything is another fight, you know, but everything's an opportunity, and it's what you make out of the opportunity that's presented to you and what you do with it. Not just showing up and fighting, but it's showing up and putting on a show, win, lose, or draw, make sure that everybody goes, man, I want to see that cat fight again. What's his name? You know what I mean? Always putting on a show, and then when you're done, man, make sure you're out there with the people, and people know who you are as a person, not just as a fighter or anything. Know that you're one of them, and that you represent them as well.
Well, you surely have taken away a lot in life, and you've been through a lot, you know. It's crazy what life gives us, but you've turned it around, and you're creating greatness. You know, we know you got started in the street fighting aspect at a very, very, very early age, but what was it that truly made you realize as a young man that, you know, you needed to go to the sport? Because, you know, quite honestly, with me, I had to go to the sport or I would have ended up in prison or dead. What was it that brought you to the sport and made you decide that this is where I need to be, because I don't want to walk that path in life?
You know, I'm 37. I grew up in the 80s. And so for me, my heroes are growing up, and still today probably, are the Hulk Hogan's, and, you know, watching Bloodsport and all these action movies and stuff like that. And so I grew up idolizing these things. But not just that, I grew up watching guys like Julio Cesar Chavez in all these boxing matches. I still remember watching Chavez versus Camacho. In fact, me and my dad still watch that fight today. You know, we still do on YouTube, man. We'll watch that. It's 2 a.m. we'll watch that. Watching the trilogy between Holyfield and Riddick Bowe, man. So I grew up watching these things, and they couldn't afford it. So for me to take lessons. So when I was older, I was able to afford it on my own. But before that, I remember I was 12 years old. I think I was 7 or 8th grade, and I watched the World Combat Championship.
that was right around the same time as like the first UFC and all that. But it was, I think it was Hensel Gracie that fought on that and beat a bunch of guys. And I went, man, I want to do that. I want to do that. You know, not just Gracie Jiu-Jitsu or kickboxing. Not that. I mean the sport. And that's when I fell in love with just no holds barred. Not MMA, not cage fighting. I mean no holds barred fighting. I'm being in a cage and just fighting, because it was all those things that I grew up idolizing into one, and it just blew my mind away. You know what I mean? And then when I was old enough, I was able to afford the karate classes. I was able to afford this and that. And I ran with it because I was like, man, I can do this. I can do this. I can get hit. I can bleed. I can sweat. I can train. I'm probably the only guy who loves to train. Like, my ass off. If I didn't have to work, even, like, I'd still be in the gym today, you know? But that's what got me going, is those things right there. And I've never looked back on it, honestly.
Yeah, you know, it's tremendous hearing you speak, man, because you sound so freaking motivated. It's tremendous. What is MMA Fight Club Management of Champions? You know, what have they done for you? How did you get involved with them? Because obviously eyes are looking at you. People are getting attention. You're getting attention from the sport. You know, what was that coalition, that brotherhood like when you signed with them?
Man, I always tell people MMA, boxing, everything else, it's a business, right? And you send out applications to businesses if you want to apply and be and work for them, right? And you can send out 100 resumes, and everybody's like, oh, no, we don't want you. Daryl in Fight Management, they gave me a chance and said, hey, man, not a problem. Here's an opportunity. All right, here's another opportunity. And so they were the first people to give me real opportunities and real fights on maybe just a whim, just to give you, well, you know what, here's a chance. Have at it. Let me see what you can do. And without being like, you know, 20-0 and having all this other stuff. Because there are some companies, unless you're undefeated and some super prospect, they don't want to talk to you, you know. Not these guys. They understand that we're all working class people, and then we'll get to the top one day. But they'll help you out get there. They want to be a part of it. And people like me want to be a part of that as well.
An organization that truly cares about the sport and defining fighters.
Yeah.
You know, that was evident in last night's UFC, and I hate to jump topic, but you look at Jillian Robertson, 6-3. She goes in there against Froda, who's 9-1. And Froda's a jiu-jitsu black belt, and, you know, she's on paper, and she's won world tournaments. And here you got Jillian Robertson, who's a purple belt from America Top Team. She goes in there and destroys her at her own game. You know, that's what I love about this sport. You can't let the sport define you. You have to define the sport. Do you feel that that's what you're bringing to the table?
Yeah, absolutely. That goes back to my prior comment was, you know, when I first started MMA as a pro, I was 7-0. And I was just wrecking people. And then things happen, you know, and then I lose here and I lose there. And I win here and I win there. And then I go on this bad streak of just weird fights because life and life. You know what I mean? And now when I'm back, and I have to say, like, life and life. You know, your personal life, then you have your work life, and you've got this life, and you got to accommodate for everything, you know? And I remember I had a conversation with a good friend of mine. She said, don't be the old you, be the inner you. And, man, I took that to heart. And it's rare that people make me cry off one word, but, like, not cry out of sadness. I was like, oh, man, I'm such an idiot. The inner me. And I totally got what she meant, you know. And I went back to the core of who I am. And people separate themselves, like, my work life, this life. Like, no, it's one life you have. Be all of those things at once. And I used to be all those things at once, and that's when I was wrecking people. And I got back to that inner self. And, you know, that's why I'm back to where I'm at now. And even at the gym, like, I'll push you, I'll wreck you, but I'll help you get back up and tell you let's do it all over again. That makes you a better person, makes you a better fighter. That makes me a better fighter, because I don't want to come in and just wreck you and leave you there. That I'm an asshole for that. But if I help you get up, let's do that again. Let's do that again. Let's do that again. That makes you a better fighter, and I need that. I need you to be a better fighter. And if I can make you a better fighter, if I can make me a better fighter, that's what I need. And that's what I bring to the cage, to the ring, to whatever it is I'm fighting. That person right there, that's the worst person you want to be in front of, because he's ready for whatever you're going to bring. He's ready. And that's my core, unfortunately. It's not violence or anything like that. It's just I'm a straight-up fighter, born and raised. No and ifs or but it, or, you know, nothing about it. I'll take my kids into the ring where I train, and I'll let them hit me as hard as they can, you know. And they're beating me up and beating me down, but that's still me. That's I'm not separating my fighting life from me being daddy when I get them every other weekend. That's me just being daddy at my core. And then, all right, guys, get out the ring. Time for daddy to train. And they understand that. And that's what that person goes into the cage having those feelings, having those thoughts, but being ready and being what he wants to be in life.
Amen. You know, I've asked this question probably 15 times, 20 times in my career, and that being 16 years in radio. But I just feel that I truly have to ask you, because this is where this interview is taking my inner thoughts. You know, I just would really like to know what pride, passion, and perseverance truly means to Leo Pla.
It goes right back to what I literally just said, man. Honest to God, it's not what you do in the sport to an extent. It is, but it's what you've done, what you leave behind, and what you bring afterwards. Because you can be successful in life. You can make $1 million and ride off in the sunset. Good for you. Great. You left us with nothing. So I can make $1 million. But then I look back and I look at everybody else. I go, oh, you know what? Time for y'all to be millionaires too. Time for y'all to be successful. I've been in the spotlight. It doesn't bother me no more. I'm going to show you how to be in the spotlight. I'm going to show you how to be a millionaire. And so forth and so on. And I might not be, I admit, I was probably a horrible husband. I'll admit that. That's fine. But the things in life that I have succeeded in, is I'm trying my damnedest to be a great father. Not good. I mean great. And there's the word pride. And raising my sons to be good men. To be great men. In whatever field they want. I'm like, hey man, that son, that's what you want to do. Let's figure out how to make you the very best at that. I don't want you to be number one. I want you to be happy in what you do. And my guys who follow me and train with me, I'm like, man, let's make you the best that you can be in that, whether it's fighting, whether it's, you know, I don't know, what a jiu-jitsu guy or just being a calculus guy who likes to train from time to time. You know, you have a real job and you come in and you train because you enjoy it, not because you want to fight, but you genuinely enjoy training. Fun. And that's what real pride means to me. It isn't just being the very best at something. It's making sure you bring everybody else with you. And they're successful also.
That's tremendous. You know, it's crazy because this world creates us and we end up like where you're at, where I'm at, and we try to understand where we're going. And you surely have a good take on that. You know, but every once in a while we have that one brief moment that we're walking by a puddle of water on a park path or a car window, or we're just sitting in a room and we glance at the mirror and we get a reflection into who we are. You know, just that brief moment that, you know, kind of takes us back. Who do you see, Leo?
Who do I see?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you know, that's a funny question because so today, literally today, just a few hours before you called, my godmother's literally on her deathbed today. And she told me she loved me and to take care of my kids. And then all of a sudden, I become a little kid. You know, talking to my aunt, talking to my godmother. I become a child, and then the first person I see is my kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and here she is telling me she loves me, and she can barely talk and all this stuff. But I am 8 years old all of a sudden. You know, where everything, like, everything's brand new to me. And as a parent, you look at your child, and at a certain age, they will stop growing. To you, your child will always be like 4 or 5, whatever. At a certain age, they stop growing. And that's right. When I see myself, that I see my both my kids just happy to be happy. Because some of us, we grow into being adults, and we're stuck on, we have to go to work, we're stuck on life, we're stuck on bills, stuck on this and that. And we forget what happiness means. And we're no longer happy to be there. We're just there because it's our job or for whatever reason. And, man, sometimes I'll show up somewhere and I'm happy just to be there because I am grateful for the opportunity that I have. And so that's how I'll answer your question is I see myself and both of my kids just smiling and happy to be around people. It sounds weird, but I like being around people. I'm a solitude guy, but like when it's time to be around people, I want to be around people and I want to be energetic and bring positivity into their life as much as I can. I ain't gonna please everybody, but I'll take the 90% people that I make happy. You know what I mean? And that's what I see. That I just see a person that's just happy and energetic and just full of life. And just wants to be around people and just wants to bring positivity to other people.
I like that. You know, brother, the interview's kind of coming to a wrap, so I'm going to ask you a couple more questions. If you had to make a statement about life or to the sport, about what they can expect from you in BKFC or any aspect of the sport or just in your walk in life, what would that statement be?
That's what would my statement be? Damn. Man, that's a question I would never be ready for. Honest to God. Damn, man, now you got me thinking about stuff. Now you really got me thinking, not just with my heart, like with my thoughts. Like, you know, I can't answer that question without really having to put a lot of thought into it. But those who know me know that I don't ever, like, I'm always truthful in who I am to people. When I fight, that is the person I enjoy being. I enjoy being that person in the ring. I only hurt outside of life. In that ring or in that cage, believe me, I don't hurt. I bleed, I sweat, but I don't break, and I don't hurt. And I'm okay with that.
That's real, bro. That's real. That's as real as it can get. You know, in life there's people that walk in front of us. There's people that walk behind us. But the ones that truly have our back stand by our side. And I like to give the fighters an opportunity to thank those people because in life, none of us would be where we're at, whether in the fight game or just in life in general. You know, there's always those people that are true friends, true family, the ones that whisper that word of intent, the ones that give us that push when we really need it. You know, the ones that always stand by our side. So if you had to give a statement of thanks to those people, what would that statement be, Leo?
Thank you. That's it.
Thank you.
Got to be
nothing
real
more,
with it, right?
Nothing less. Yeah.
I mean,
those who know me best knows that I don't have much to say. Just this, the realest words. That's
yeah.
it.
Brother, it's been an honor to, you know, to have you on the show. I can't wait to have you back on again. Actually, you know, we did have some mishaps making the show happen, but now that I finally had you on the show, man, I respect you, brother. You truly are a warrior. I mean, I saw what you can do in the ring and in the cage, but hearing you speak today truly defined who you are as a man and as a warrior in the sport. And I respect both because you bring you to the table. And that's something a lot of people don't know how to, you know, do in life. They don't get that. They think life has to be about hype. They think it has to be, you know, made up aspects. Just be you. And the world will recognize you for that aspect. And, brother, you got it going on, homie. You know, you've been through adversity. Yeah.
I'm trying.
You know,
I'm trying.
Hey, that's all you can do. You know, brother, like I said, it was a true honor. I'm going to pass the mic to you. If you have any sponsors, friends or family, social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the show, the floor is yours,
brother. I just like to thank all my friends, family, and my fans who support me in everything I do and put up with my BS. But to follow me on Facebook and follow everything I do and their words of encouragement that I always believe me. I always read them and I always hear them. Thank you, guys.
Hey, bro, my show is always yours, you know, and I don't tell that to very many people, but my show is always yours. Anytime you want to come on, just shoot me a text, have Daryl shoot me a text, or just – we'll just figure it out. But when you get the next fight news, I want to bring you on and let you share that with the world because, man, you go on places, homie. And not only that, you're real. And that means a lot to me, and that means a lot to the sport to have fighters like you that are truly justifying what the sport is, but doing it with dignity, respect, and honor. And that doesn't happen that much in this sport. So with that being said, I want to thank you so much, and I can't wait to have you back on the show again, Leo. It's been an honor to interview you, and I truly appreciate it, brother.
Thank you so much.
All right, brother. God bless you, man. Peace. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Leo Pla. Hey, pretty cool dude, man. Well, we're running just about 2 minutes behind, so we're going to jump to Lorenzo the Juggernaut Hunt. Man, I like that.
Hello.
Hey, Lorenzo. This is Don McGuire with the Fighter's Voice. How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm all right. How you doing today, sir?
Oh, I'm doing good, good. You know, I'm going to drop a little something since we got the Juggernaut on here. I'll drop it. I'll be right back. I had to do that for the Juggernaut, bro.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that, man.
Man,
how y'all doing up?
Doing tremendous, man. I just like it because you come out real with everything, bro. You don't hide your thoughts. You don't hide your feelings. You say it like it is. What is it that inspires you to speak what you truly feel in this sport?
Oh, man, I think I won't lie to you. I think I get that from my mom, man. Oh, my God. My mom, she never bit her tongue, but not once. My mom and my grandma, they always told it how it was. They never hid a thing. And you know, the truth, you know, like they say, it was such a freak. yeah, I don't have nothing to hide, man. I just push my hardest, you know. And anybody in this industry, if they don't like the way I don't, you know, the way I see it, hey, there's always a case.
Right? I like to say it different, but it'll get me in trouble on the show, homie. You know, because I grew up in the projects, you know, so I'm a little bit different. What I got, I earned. I'm like you, bro, but if I say it, the FCC won't like me so much, so I won't go that route. But, man, what was it like for you to get that opportunity with Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships? What was it like for you to now be able to move forward in that aspect in life?
You know, it's the craziest thing, man. It's the craziest, surreal feeling because anybody who knows me and anybody who ever trained with me, anybody who ever worked with me, they know that that's what I believe. I believe that all these fights are real fights. There's no jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, no boxing. This is a fight, a fighter fight. You know what I mean? So when it comes down to bare knuckle, people are always like, oh, it's a bare knuckle fight? Really? Like, you're going to do that? Like, what fight ain't dangerous? You know what I mean? Every fight,
yeah.
I think I have more bare knuckle fights than sanctioned fights. So I'm probably better prepared for this than I was for MMA. You know? So it's like I said, it's such a real feeling, man. I appreciate them guys for recognizing my talent, and I appreciate Daryl Hatchett from MMA Fight Club for pushing to keep me in touch with those people and to you know, give me a chance. Like I say, I'm a fighter. I think I'm a shoe in this type of combat sport just because I'm, you know, I'm fearless and I'm fast. So I think it's perfect for me, you know.
Oh yeah, I do too, man. And I gotta tell you, you know, I do a lot of interviews with Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships fighters, and I've been with the promotion since the beginning, interviewing their fighters. You know, there's a young man who's the heavyweight world champion, Arnold Adams, and you know, his story's kind of deep. You know, he's a brother that, you know, gave up everything, was living in his car to go to the tryouts and get into the tournament. He didn't think he was going to end up winning the heavyweight championship, but he did. And, you know, God bless his soul because he gave up everything to do so. Now, you turn around and you look at this opportunity that's been given to you, you know, as with him. He was the first African-American to ever win a bare-knuckle fighting championship title. Not only that, he was the first African-American ever to win the John L. Sullivan belt, which was established back in 1863. Now you have this opportunity not just to create and add to your legacy, but to add your name to the history of the sport, to put your name in the history books. What does that aspect mean to you, brother?
Honestly, I grew up in, like, some of the poorest conditions. I've seen some of the weirdest things. So I never really got into the nostalgia of fight sports and trophies and really sports in general, Hall of Fame stuff, signed baseball bats, all that kind of stuff. That was so far beyond me. You know, we were looking for cereal. You know, we were looking for Raymond soups and shit. So, like, I wasn't really a baseball card collector and all of that stuff. So it's never crossed my mind. Awards, belts, recognitions never crossed my mind. My motivator is just, like, redemption. I was a terrible kid, and so all this time I've just been trying to prove I'm not anymore. I'm grown up, and I just want to, you know, show my mom and dad that I'm responsible and that I'm passionate about something, that I'm focused, that I've stepped into manhood and accepted it, you know. And this is how I control the jitters, the extra energy that had them label me as a kid, you know, with so many labels. This is how I control. This is how I stay out of handcuffs. And so the more I fight, the more I train, the harder I fight, the harder I train, I just get better. But it's for me. It's for my family. It's not for any awards or any accolades. I don't really care if anybody says my name after I'm done. I'm not even shooting for that. It's just for my family.
You know, and I hate to reference a fighter twice on the same show as I had to do with Leo, but you know, I got to take it back to Kung Lee. You know, I interviewed Kung Lee the first time, and we talked about, because he came from the fall of Saigon. He didn't have a very, you know, gracious life like all of us think he did, or most of us have had. Mine wasn't that great either. But I wanted to talk about his accolades. And he said, I don't never talk about my accolades. Accolades don't mean nothing to me. He said, it's the future that matters to me. Creating greatness with my name and showing the world who I am is what truly matters. Would you say that's the same aspect with you, brother?
It's very, very similar. It's very, very similar. Like I say, even the namesake stuff and all of that, like I say, that's for the people who keep in count or keep in score. And no matter how fast you are or how good you are, you know, the people keeping records, somebody's always going to break the record. Somebody's always going to, you know, be faster. It's not about that at all for me. Like I said, it's about survival. It's about just accepting who I am and what I've become and what I'm good at. It's about self-actualization. You know what I mean? When I'm punching and kicking and moving and creating new moves and I'm teaching the kids and I'm showing everybody what I can do, that's the only time I'm truly me. And I'm free. I'm not in trouble. I can hit people and not go to jail. Like, I'm finally found my calling. I don't know if it'll make it to the history books, and I don't really care. But I know my mom smiles, you know what I mean? My dad, he's still kicking and punching with me like we did when we were kids. So I'm winning, you know, and then I get paid for it. What? What?
Right.
Triple threat. I get paid for it.
I get paid to do what I used to do for free.
All the time. Man, I used to get suspended from school all the time. Failed. Oh God, I was just pariah. They just was like, oh no, this guy's a bane on society. And then look, I turned out to be a all right guy. You know, I coach kids and jog every day. I'm a pretty good dad. You know what I mean? Like, hey, look, I like to, you know, I like those people to know they were wrong about me. You know.
That's truly deep, man, because, you know, like, I don't really let people know too much about my life, even though I'm in the public eye. I guess, you know, I'm extroverted when I have to be, but when it comes to it, I'm truly introverted. But there was days that I didn't know how I was going to feed my family. There was days I didn't know where I was going to sleep, where we were going to sleep that night, what tomorrow was going to bring. What is kept the faith in you, Lorenzo, and what has truly allowed you to define yourself in the sport?
Man, I like to tell my sisters and brothers and like I said, the people who know me, the people who are close to me, that I've seen some ugly, ugly, tragic things. I've seen despair. I've seen the stuff nobody likes to talk about. You know what I mean? I've seen what depression does. I've seen what addiction does. And growing up and going through those things and seeing those things with my own eyes, I can't find a reason to be sad, mad, or angry, or none of that. And I just try to pass that along. I try to tell people, like, well, you got no reason to be sad. You got no reason to be angry. You know what I mean? Should be happy, you know? So, like, that's just, like I said, that's my push, man. Ask me that question again. What was the last part of that question, guys?
Nah, bro, you already answered it.
I'm just rambling, but yeah, that's what I touched, man. I've been so far. I've seen what happens to people, and I've been in trouble. I've been to jail. I've committed crimes. I've been there. You know what I mean? And I was able to rise above it. I was able to discipline myself not to not to steal when I'm starving, or not to you know, it's weird. And I guess, even though, you know, I'm doing better now and money's not the thing, and it's always going to be something. It's always going to be something, you know, that pushes you that way. So I just, like I said, I've seen so much craziness that I'm totally fine with whatever position I'm in, whatever position God blessed me with, you know. I'm built for it. We hunts, we built for it, man. We've been through it.
I like that. You know, would you say it's the adversity that you've walked through in your life and that you truly have lived that now has you giving back to the community, to the kids, to others in life, to keep them from walking the path that you had to struggle on?
I don't know if I can keep them from walking the path. I don't know if that's my job. I don't know. But I do know that if you can show a person something new or show a person what helped you, they may decide not to walk down that path. But the adversities that I went through made me so superhumanly strong that I've been able to get where I am. So I wouldn't necessarily take that from anyone else. Everyone has to go through the fire. Everyone has to be tested. Everyone has to lift weights. Everyone has to be, you know what I mean, has to go to that little space inside them where they think there's no way out, and then they'll become who they're truly meant to be. So I just try to give the kids something else to do, you know, besides breaking out windows and junkyards and running around and, you know, wreaking havoc like I used to. I just try to, you know, show them, hey, you know, let's play this or let's play that, or, you know, give them something else to do. I'm not really that deep when it comes to why I'm doing what I'm doing, not trying to save anyone or nothing. I'm just trying to have a little fun, you know, have a little fun, smile and laugh and show off a little bit. And, you know, that's it, man.
You know,
I got a student, I'm sorry. I got a student named Isaiah Washington, and kind of the same story, you know. He's out of St. Augustine, very, very talented amateur boxer, doing really good. And he's just like, there's nothing to do but get in trouble. So we got to stay on, and we got to jog, we got to run, we got to go places, we got to do other things, or you're going to get in trouble. And that's kind of the thing, you know, if you just stay busy and do something with that energy, time will give you a chance to mature, you know.
You know, I'm going to tell you, my grandfather told me one time, you could preach to 10,000 people, and you might not think it matters, but if you can change one life, then it was all worth every bit of it. And just think about it, you know, because you say you're not trying to make that much change, you're just trying to, you know, give others an avenue, but if you change one life, and what you're doing, then it's well worth it. It's worth every moment you put into it. It's worth every aspect of who you are. You know, and I think that's what people miss out in life. You know, because I could come on here and do a Wikipedia or Tapology show and talk about, oh, what did you do wrong, your last weight cut, what did you do wrong, this, blah, 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 blah. But people wouldn't get to know you.
Mm-hmm.
But see, this way, people get to look at Lorenzo, and they get to see an aspect that isn't on social media, that isn't on television. They get to see the man. And so if you make a difference in one person's life, then your job is done, son. You know, that's what I take from life, being in my mid-50s. You know, I could have a show, it could be the greatest show in the world, but my next show could suck ass. But I got to pick it up and do it again the next day, no matter how bad yesterday was. And that's one thing that life has taught me. You know, you got to let the sorrow go in order to reap the benefits. So if you had to write on a piece of paper, you know, the beginning or the the start of the second chapter of Lorenzo the Juggernaut Hunt, what would that statement be?
You say, if I had to write on the paper, was the start of the new chapter. You know, I write a new chapter every day. I'm very creative, so I love to just let it flow, let it go. The people in my life right now who are supporting me, who are loving me, who are watching me grow and mature, that's what I'm all about. I'm all about them. I'm all about returning it to them. When it comes to this fighting stuff, it's a chapter, but it's a very small one. It's a very small one, you know. And I'm definitely gonna make waves in this sport, but like I said, it's just a very small chapter in my life. I would just like, you know, I just would like everybody to kind of just find a kid, find that little troubled person next to them, and just throw the ball around with them. Show them your favorite move you used to do. Teach them your favorite song. Ask them if they got any talents. Are they good at any? Can they sing? You know, can they dance? Find out something about them you didn't know before, you know? And just kind of build off of that. That's all I'm about. But like I said, I'm here, and I'm going to show everybody, you know, my little talents, the things I'm good at. And I'm going to keep it moving.
Would you say, because, you know, I pull things from the interview. I don't write nothing down, bro. I just pull as we talk, you know. But what I take from our interview so far is you're not in this sport for the belts, the glory, the accolades. You're in this for you. You're in this for your family. Yeah. What does it mean to you to have that aspect now defined in you, but to be able to take your family along with you, let them see this journey that you're on?
I'll give you the best example that I can. Ever since I was a kid, my father played the drums. He never really played for anybody else. He just got a drum set, and it's like he's like Mozart, like a wizard. It's like an octopus. He's got eight arms. He can do anything, but no one knows. You know, no one knows about it. It's not on YouTube. It's not, you know, it's no one screaming his name, but he's so talented. And I never understood why he didn't want the world to know. Everybody should see me. And no, it's not that. It's not that. Because when I'm working, when I'm shadow boxing, when no one's looking, when I'm getting stronger, when I'm getting faster, the things that I'm doing, that's when I'm truly free. That's when I'm truly me. So how can it be about them? How can it be about the accolades? How can it be about a belt? How can it be about money? When the only time I truly feel good and amazing and confident and calm and right with the world is when I'm doing it alone. Now, when you see me do it, it's like, oh my God, that's amazing. But I've been doing this a long time. Nobody saw.
Yeah, I feel you on that, bro, because, man, bro, I love that so much, because that just truly is what I'm about. You know, if you go to my page, because my page is public, I don't hide nothing from nobody. You know, one thing I learned in this business, you got to be transparent. Just be who you are. And if people like you, they like you. If they don't, fuck them, skip them. You know, I mean, I'm just being honest. You know, unless you pay my bills and feed me, I ain't worried about what you got to say about me. You know, and the thing about it is, though, is to hear you speak, man, I love it, because, you're a warrior, but you're more of a man. And see, to me, that makes a big difference, because I've interviewed, like I told the previous guest, man, Leo, I've interviewed thousands of fighters in my life. You think about it, for 16 years I've been interviewing fighters. But you're the first one that really does it for you, for your family. And, you know, besides Kung Lee, I mean, it's deep.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's it, man. Like I said, I do it for the family, man. And they all so proud of me, and they all got my back. They all, you know, they my biggest fans. And like I say, after giving so much turmoil, so many red and blue lights, so much running away and fighting and scuffling and craziness, you would think, like, man, is this guy ever going to grow up? And lo and behold, you know.
It happens. I love it, man. I love it because humility is tremendous. Like I said, I do thousands of things, but you'll never hear about it. You know, one thing that pisses me off in life is them people that help an old lady off the ground when she fell, and first thing they do is break out their phone and brag about it. To me, special occasions like, you know, things that you do in life should be relished in the heart, not on social media. And you know, man, I don't know if you realize it or not yet, but you're an old soul in a young man's body. Hearing you talk about your father playing the drums and not wanting to share it and you wondering why, the truth is nobody need to know why. You know, mm-hmm. And as you said, when you shadow boxing, you free. And that's when you really are who you are. And that's what created you. And that's what you're about. You know, man, I love the show. I tell you what, Daryl, thank you so much because, you know, you get these fighters on here. Man, I threw Colby Covington off my show, and I interviewed that boy his whole career. And I threw him off my show because of ignorance. And, a lot, you know, after that aspect, I started looking at the sport because it started to change. But there's fighters like you that I get opportunities to interview that bring me back to the reason why I do what I do. And so, Daryl and MMA Fight Club Management, I thank you because, man, look, you're a blessing, bro. You truly are. What was it in Daryl that you saw that made you walk that path then and brought you in closer with him? Because he's truly humble in himself. He doesn't brag too much about what he does. He doesn't really get on there and share with the world, oh, I did this or I did that. Was it that aspect that brought you in closer with him?
No, but similar. Daryl Hatchett, right, he saw me when I first was getting started, when I was winning. And I was winning, and he would shake hands with me. I was winning. Everybody, blowing everybody away. He shook hands with me. He talked to me a little bit, but he never came after me. You know what I mean? And then I started losing. When I started losing, all the people who had came after me, they turned their back. They thought I would just give up because, you know, I was winning, so it's easy to fight when you're winning. You know what I mean? They thought I'd give up now that I lost a couple. But Daryl came after I lost a couple, and everybody else stopped talking, and it got quiet. And then he came, and then he said, You ready? You know?
Yeah.
And I appreciated that. I appreciated that. So him with you know, it don't matter about contracts. It don't matter about handshake. Nobody can come and be like, oh, well, oh, Daryl's this or Daryl's that. No, you can't split that up because, yeah, he came when I was losing. And now everybody got something to say. No. I'm rocking with him.
Yeah.
He knows
that's
it.
That's where he should be. Yeah. See, that's deep. That's why I mess with him, man. You know, and I love how you laughed when I said, you know, everybody want to jump out and jump on social media and brag about the good deeds that they do. Because, man, I'm in my mid-50s, bro, and that ain't what it's about. If people knew half of what I did in life, they'd probably hate me even more. But, you know, I don't do it for me. I do it for you fighters. I do it for the people that want to get to know you. You know, do I make money off this show? No. I mean, I'll be honest with you. They pay my bills up front for a year in advance. But do I make money off this show? No, I dedicate my time to the show. I dedicate my time to fighters like you that want to make a difference. And, son, you truly are making a difference in life, whether you realize it or not. That attitude that you have is tremendous, and I commend your parents for that. You know, I know we're kind of getting a little bit late into this interview, but I just want to ask you a couple more questions. You know, I know it don't mean too much to you, but I know it's an aspect that is going to propel you. Getting this opportunity with Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships and Dave Feldman and Nate Shook and the whole staff over there is an opportunity. What do you want to take away from this opportunity, son?
Oh, man. I'm going to wreck this show.
I love that. I'm going to wreck this show.
I'm a time bomb, man. I can't wait till they put me up there and so I can show the world what I can do. It's like, oh, man, we gave this dude somewhere to show off, and it's going to change the way people think about this sport. To tell you the truth, I don't even like guys. They posting pictures of their face all busted up. They're like, yeah, bare knuckle tough. Bro. Why you didn't move your face?
Right?
So somebody called you and told you I was fighting with knuckles and you didn't train how to move your face? So, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I think it's people are afraid of it and it's getting a bad rap because all the cuts and lacerations and all the craziness, but come on, man. Like you got to know how to fight. You know? Getting your face all beat up don't make you tough. Getting all cut up don't make you tough. You know what I mean? Being smart, being smooth, being direct, being aggressive, knowing when to step back, when to step up. You know what I mean? Like it's gonna change the game. It's gonna change the game. And when I do get the belt, it's gonna be impossible to get it back. Like who gonna take it from me? You're gonna have to learn what I know. And it took a long time to learn what I know. So, good luck.
It's crazy. You know, your charisma and attitude are tremendous. But, you know, we got to look at facts sometimes. And you're stepping into a sport that now you may have the opportunity to fight, you know, people that were tremendous champions in the UFC and Bellator and other aspects of the sport. So what will it mean for you, Lorenzo, to turn your idols into your rivals? I mean, because that possibility is there, brother.
Yeah, it means nothing to me at all. I have no idols. I don't follow them guys. I watch fights. I don't remember names. I watch them. Most of the stuff I see, I don't like. Some of the stuff I see, I do like. You know what I mean? But, like I said, I'm shadow boxing, bro. I'm all alone. You know what I mean? I'm playing music. I'm playing the drums. Whether you're listening or not, when I get in there, I'm making music. And I don't care who's in there. There's a song being played. You understand? Yeah, the music is being made, and so when I get in there, yeah, it's just a two arms and two legs and a head. It don't matter what your name is, just like it don't matter what my name is.
Amen. You know, I got one more question for you, brother, and then I'm gonna turn the mic over to you. If you had to make a statement, because if I did my job right in this interview, I really know what means something to you. So if you had to make a statement to your parents, to Daryl, to the kids that are in your life, a statement of thanks or just a statement about what they truly mean to you, what would that statement be?
In the immortal words of Leo Plas, thank you.
Yeah, right? Leo was like, Thank you.
I just want to say thank you. You know, thank you for believing in me. Thank you for teaching me how to believe in you. Thank you for that backbone. Thank you for that support. You know what I mean? I know I'm strong. I know I look like and act like I'm invincible, but I'm nothing. I'm nothing without y'all. I'm nothing. You know what I mean? I'm nothing without the people who love me, the people who root me on, the people who happy to see me doing well. You know what I mean? And that's it. And they know it. They know it because it's not, you know, like I say, the platform, the radio. It didn't take the radio for me to tell them. I tell them all the time. The students who watching me, who learn from me, I learn from you. We teach each other. You know what I mean? It's amazing. All my sparring partners, you know, guys I punch in the face, they love me too. You know what I mean? It's okay. You know, all my ex-opponents, shout out to y'all. Y'all made me, you know, who I am. The ones who beat me and the ones who didn't. You know what I mean? The ones, you know, we all rocking together. We all support each other. And I just want everybody to know it's all love, man. It's a fight game, but it's all love.
Yeah, one team, one dream. You know, that's the way I look at it, one team, one dream. Because there ain't no I or you in team. You know, it takes a team to create an aspect. But your family, man, I commend your mother and your father for the job they did with you, bro. I'm going to pass the mic to you. If you have any, you know, sponsors, friends or family, social media sites, or just anything else you want to add to the program, the floor is yours, brother.
Thank you. I'd like to say thank you to you. And I like to give a shout out to the Hunts, Team Hunt. You know, we built for this. No retreat, no surrender. Keep grinding until your dreams come true. I would like to give a shout out to the Dak Shack and Package Store in Jacksonville, Florida. They've been one of my biggest sponsors. They believe in me, pushing me forward. I like to give a shout out to my coach and father, Melvin Hunt. You know what I mean? He's always got my back. He pushing me. My mom, you know, Coach Kev, Champs Boxing Fitness out of Jacksonville. He pushing me every day. If you look him up on the gram, it's that Aggressive Venture and the Juggernaut Hunt. Y'all can find us on the gram if y'all want to train with us or want to spar, want to bring your kids. We doing all sorts of stuff. I give a shout out to Dead Game Fight School, who been rocking with me and never charged me to train and brought me in like I was family and just, you know, showed me love. So it's like I said, it's all love. Everybody who know me, I like to say thank you. Everybody who believe in me, and even to the haters, you know, I had a couple guys at my job take some pot shots at me the other night, but it don't work because I trained for that. And I like to say to the haters, thank you, you know, for the free work, for the free workout. You know what I'm saying? Silly little billies. You can't fuck with me. I'm a juggernaut.
Oh, definitely. Brother, I can't wait to have you back on the show again. You truly are a tremendous young man in your walk, and I wish you the best of luck in Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. You know, until we meet again, brother, stay you, stay true, and God bless you, homie.
Thank you.
Thank you. You have a good night, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Lorenzo the Juggernaut Hunt. I tell you what, if you don't like that kid, you do now. That kid, I tell you what, Leo Pla and Lorenzo were tremendous. You know, I tell you what, MMA Fight Club Management of Champions, Waddell, man, look him up. That's a brother that's creating history, you know, and he's doing it by defining fighters, not going after the best, but truly going after the ones that have the heart, the compassion, and the respect in life, and looking for, you know, I guess you could say to encapsulate their dreams and who they truly are. So much love to MMA Fight Club Management of Champions. I truly am blessed for doing this show. Thank you for bringing your fighters on. I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, For Hire with Jacob Stitch-Duran and Juan Ramirez, the 86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie, and last but not least, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice. On that note, have a good night, and God bless.
be knowing you're still on my grind. Never stop just to be showing you how I live. Out in the lights, getting my name out. Never needed a team for me to spit on my flame out. I came out by myself without a single instruction on how to get my music off of the shelf. I'm still meeting through hard times, man. Who else can I be? This pen and paper got me studying like it's a degree. The green inside of my system keep me hungry for more. I'm spreading my hits through Cali all the way to New York. You'll never let it go. Rhythm is all mine. Buffing my Alpine. Sinking the baseline. Applauses when it rises. Positive day vibes.